All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? We got a Final Four. We got a 60-win basketball team. We got a decent day outside before the rest of the week seems to be a wash.
Oh, but, it's going to rain, isn't it?
It's
going
to rain for like two straight
Wednesday,
days.
Starts Wednesday, right?
Tuesday night, I believe.
Is it?
Tuesday night
Tuesday
all
night
the way
through
to like Thursday afternoon.
Is it?
We're supposed to do a remote at the Houston Open on Thursday, and I looked at the forecast. I'm like,
if it rains all day, it's not like a baseball field where they can just cover 18 holes.
Right, no.
So you better hope that it drains well, which I hear it does.
They don't spray that quick-drying dust on the greens and the fairways either. So
do they have that?
I know.
Is that a thing?
No, it's not a thing.
No, I thought that was for a second.
They actually do sell something, and we have low spots in our yard that don't drain good, and I went to a store, and they were like, throw these, it's some sort of pellet. They were like, throw the pellet out, and it'll actually make that area, it'll absorb more water than normal.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a thing they do have.
Now, here's a question.
Have you ever seen the concrete that absorbs water?
No.
Dude, you got to Google that. Google concrete that absorbs water.
It's weird.
It's badass. They actually make it concrete.
They do have the sand that they put on the infields in baseball that absorbs water.
But this is an actual piece of concrete that it can absorb water. Google it. It's crazy.
Wow.
Man, having a farm has its benefits, dude. You know everything.
Yeah.
It's not because of the farm. I'm just really, really, really smart.
Wait till he teaches you about that backhoe.
You know how to install cabinets?
Yeah. A backhoe? That's the hoe that you just broke up with.
Yeah, that backhoe?
That's that backhoe.
And that windbreak.
This is my looking forward hoe. That's the backhoe. No, I'm just kidding.
And that windbreak.
Yeah, the windbreak.
When he gets that windbreaker.
That's right.
I have a question for you on all that.
Okay.
All right. So I know in plumbing, you get a snake, right? And you can unclog a drain.
That's right.
But I have drains in my yard that
French
have
drains.
Not been draining.
Okay.
So I had a friend of ours that's a landscape guy look at it, and he's like, yeah, we tried to find where the clog might be. We can't. You've got to get a plumber. I'm like, I got to get a plumber from the drains outside in the yard? I mean, don't they make like a Drano or something for that?
I don't think there's a Drano. But
I'm just saying, but isn't there a solution?
Can,
he's like, they have a really, really long snake. I'm like, what the hell's a damn snake? The length of a football field? How do you do that?
It could be long, depending on the size of your yard, because usually French drains will drain to your street.
Right, it does.
Yeah, is it from the front yard or the backyard?
It's from the back. It goes from the back toward the front.
It probably runs down the middle of your house. Yeah, you probably, something's in there. A lot of times, do you have trees along the way?
Some smaller ones.
Yeah, a lot of times it could be a root. It could be something could got clogged in there with leaves, dead snake. It could be anything.
Super. I look forward to what that might cost.
Yeah.
Yay
me. Hey, while we start the show, I got to say shout out to the Red Rowdies. I went last night.
Oh, did you?
I was an honorary Red Rowdy.
Did you see Nick?
I got to hang out with Rowdy Granny.
I was not there.
The
were
crew.
You on the big screen?
Yeah, I think I did make the big screen one time. Yeah, it was cool. Like, Michael is the head of the Rowdies. Real cool. Went and got me an honorary Rowdy shirt.
Cool.
Because I wore a gray Houston Rockets shirt. Because I'm no poser. If I'm going to be in the Red Rowdies, I'm going to cheer.
Okay.
Because I wasn't there representing the media.
Mm-hmm.
Just there as a fan. So
well,
I wore
a pass for that.
And then he was like, "Nah, you get." So he gave me a Red Rowdies shirt, like a red one, I guess, to fit in.
Okay.
But they were all cool, man. Great group of guys and gals. Very nice. A lot of fun hanging out over there. But that was the first game I've gone to, and even though it was Atlanta. It was still like, this was win number 60.
Yeah.
Fun game? Atmosphere was loud enough or not really?
No, I expected better.
Okay.
For going for win number 60, breaking records, making history in the city, it wasn't bad for a Sunday night and Atlanta, because Atlanta is garbage.
Yeah, they are.
Atlanta is so bad. The half of the, every time somebody would make a basket, the entire Rowdies would go, who? Like, I was like, what? Who is this?
They had a Maggette, and I'm thinking, well, it's Corey's brother. Then I realized he was like 6'9". I mean, he was 5'9", and he was white.
Yeah, like, not the same.
Who's that?
I mean, it was not a very competitive game. I told my mom, I leaned over about 3 minutes in, and I said, Harden will get a triple-double.
You're like Nostradamus.
Well, he already had like 7 assists, and that's usually going to be the thing. He'll pick up some garbage junk rebounds when he's close. I thought, yeah, if he's got 7 assists and we're halfway through the first quarter, he's getting a triple-double. No Chris Paul, so he's going to be the primary ball handler. I was like,
they actually kept him in the game too long.
Money in the bank. Oh, yeah.
But they kept him in just for the triple-double.
How about the fact that they had him in the game was too long? He shouldn't have played.
You should write something on that.
I should. I should totally, and then people could come out and use all the stuff that I wrote and say it. It was fun. At one point, I'm sitting, like the Rowdies do a thing called the Rowdy Romp. And that's when they go around the whole stadium or the whole arena.
The concourse?
Yeah, and they're playing the drums and screaming and getting fans involved and stuff like that.
I've heard it.
And I decided I didn't want to do that.
That was a smart move on your part.
Because I didn't want to.
It annoys the hell
I think
out
it's
of
annoying,
people.
Honestly.
Do you?
If you've never been to a game, I can see how the first time, but if you go to a lot of the home games, I just find it annoying. I think it's because I see them too much.
So I didn't do the romp. I was sitting in my seat and I watched, because I like people watching. I enjoy just observing. And usually I'll tweet like what I'm seeing and take pictures of weird people and all that. I didn't. I just watching. But I thought, man, I went home and worked out. I drank water after seeing a woman that was so big that her husband was behind her with his hands on her butt, pushing her up the stairs.
You're lying.
I swear to God.
You're Come totally on. Lying.
I swear to you that she had... You ever seen...
You didn't video it?
No. It came right past me. Have you ever watched The Price is Right?
Yeah,
of
course. You know the mountain climber? He's like... That's what it looked like. Because she had the rail, and she was like, she was pulling up a rope. Like, she was climbing a rope, one hand over the other, and he's behind her with two hands on her butt, pushing her. He's sweating. She's sweating. And I'm like, you guys are only halfway. You guys, I'm surprised they didn't stop and take a break. But I thought, oh, my God. My mom was like, you want some popcorn? I was like, nope, I want water. In fact, I think I want to go jog right now. I just was like, wow. Never saw him come back. I think they decided once they got down and had to make the trek back up there that they were like, no.
I mean, at some point, don't you get to use the elevator? Because the elevators are all over that building.
No, they were sitting down like in the one of the rows down and below.
Well, if they were really good seats, then they should have access to the elevator.
They were really good seats. I don't know that. I never saw them come back. I never saw them come back.
Did she
and
only
I was there
take
the
up
entire
one
time.
Seat?
I don't know. I never saw where she was sitting. I just know she came from towards the bottom.
Do they have a rule for that? Like on planes, if you're big, you have to buy 2 seats?
Well, they kind of have those armrests, so you don't have a choice. Your big ass is fitting in between them armrests.
Unless they have floor seats. They don't have that on floor seats.
Well, that's true. I didn't think about that. Those are just folding chairs.
Those would be really expensive. 4 floor seats?
I know someone that fought the airline on that. That
blow your food budget.
People at the airline told one of the guests of a friend of mine that they were too big to have one seat and they needed to go buy another ticket. And he went nuts.
I bet.
And he
I would.
Caused, I mean, they were doing everything trying to
insulting.
Like keep him quiet. Yeah. Because that's a really sticky, that's a touchy subject.
So did they let him, look, I'm not going to lie. It's not great when you're sitting next to somebody.
Oh, it sucks. It sucks. Especially if it's a long flight, it sucks.
You're not getting that armrest.
No.
Nope.
No, nobody is.
Nope.
But let's be real, I'm sure that they're not happy either.
No, they're not.
I mean, I'm sure that they're embarrassed or they're, you know, regretful or whatever. It's just like, it's just miserable for everybody, but what are you going
to
do?
Could you imagine your boss saying you have to be the one to deliver that news? I'd be like, no, you do it, player. I'm not doing that. You tell him he has to buy 2 seats.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, that's a tough situation.
Man, damn that. But I saw that. I thought, oh, yeah. You got more than you bargained for going walking all the way down the stairs and having to get back up again.
It's just sad, man. It does make me feel bad. When you really think about it, it does make me feel bad.
That's, you know, I'm the same way. I feel bad, but I also...
I'll poke fun at it. I mean, I'm not, you know, a saint.
Yeah,
I'll totally make fun of it, but it does make me feel bad. Like, seriously, like...
I do feel bad, but here's the thing. I've struggled with my weight, and it's all my fault. Now, I realize sometimes people have a thyroid issue or, you know, I'm big bone. Okay. I get that. But a lot of times it's decisions that we – that's why we're doing the weight loss challenge for the Usual Suspects, because it encourages people to make better decisions, and that's what it's about, you know? I mean, I get it. It's if it's one thing, if you have a condition that causes that, like some people have to get on steroids or like lupus or – I mean, there's all kinds of things that can cause it. But a lot of times, it's just bad decisions. I mean, look at how many restaurants are in
this
town.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You just always feel bad because you always assume that it's people making bad decisions. And then all of a sudden, you find out that it makes an ass out of you and me, literally, because
then you're like,
someone's got something wrong with them and that they can't control it.
But watching him try to push her up those stairs was... I was like, poor guy.
Wow.
Goodness. That must have been tough.
Man. It did, but they were, all things considered, they were pretty quick getting up there. She was just like, you gotta get behind, don't let me fall.
I just got a bad visual of a guy like getting in a really like aggressive position and trying to like a blocking sled, like
lose
trying to
watch.
Push it. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay. All right, so we're just getting started. Feel free to join in. It's a Monday on the Usual Suspects, and all lines are open, 713-780-3776. Call or text that number and hit us up on Twitter, where it's at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, as we are going to be rolling on till 4. Then the Blitz will take you home till 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Usual Suspects. Getting a new week started after a... good weekend, I hope, for everybody, and we'll check in on that. Charlie's already on his show declared to the world that he had a spectacular weekend, so I'm sure that that will fill up our airwaves from 1:30 to 2 as Charlie Pullillo joins us here on The Usual Suspects, as he does Mondays and Fridays. But for the time being, the quiet calm before the storm is Nick, Barry, and Joel, as El Jefe didn't waste any time at all getting the picture of you as a red rowdy.
I don't even have my Twitter open. I imagine it's the one of me playing drums.
No, he took a picture of you.
He photoshopped it.
Yeah, photoshopped it on someone in a Harden jersey and then put a fake beard on it.
Oh. Well, yeah. Good job, El Jefe. Way to put that college education to work.
Does he have one?
I have no idea.
I think he's still in school.
He's working on it, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. I don't even have Twitter open. I don't, honestly.
Wow. Kind of behind today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still working on the schedule that we talked about that you guys are obviously not going to do.
I already told you
I wasn't doing it.
Really?
Yeah, I said it in the room. So I'm not participating.
Well, I didn't think you meant it.
Oh, I didn't, but...
I have some, like, weirdness going on over here. I've got a three-way tie.
What?
Yeah, I've got a three-way tie when I break down all the schedules between the Wolves, Jazz, and Thunder.
So you're doing this way too seriously with
I'm just taking a
look-see.
No, I pulled up the Spurs, Wolves, Jazz, Thunder, Pelicans, and Blazers. And I'm going through all their schedules and going 6-2, 4-4, 7-3, whatever. And then, okay, if the Thunder, if I have them beating the Spurs, that's a loss for the Spurs, so I got to put that down. Or vice versa. So I'm just doing all that and basically seeing how it's going to shake out. You know why I wanted to do it? Because I want to see who the Warriors are going to end up facing in the first round. Because I want to see, without Steph Curry, because Curry's out the first round of the playoffs. They announced it.
Well, he says he's going to prove his coach wrong, but I think they got to be smart with that. You know what? Regardless of who they play in the first round, you as a team have to believe you're going to win that. You got to make sure that he's healthy.
But if he's out in the first round, what I'm trying to figure out is, are they a bit vulnerable? Is there a team out there that might be able to match up
with
them?
That's what I'm saying. First round, no. Second round, I think that they're pushing it. Yeah, I mean, if something else would happen.
You're not going to know until you figure out how you think the year's going to end, though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and believe me, and with the Thunder losing last night in Portland and all the different things that are going on, the West is a complete crapshoot still, and everything from 4, which would mean home court in the first round, down to 8 is still wide open and up in the air, which is crazy. East is still pretty congested too, but it's nuts in the West.
So I hate to say it, but the I mean, the Thunder are only two back of the Blazers for the division.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that the Thunder are going to catch the Blazers, but that surprises me too. So
I said, and I'll admit it if I'm wrong, but I said the Thunder would end up with home court. They'd sneak it in because,
well, they're four right now.
They are. They lost last night.
They're still number four in the conference.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought they had fallen back out.
No, they're 16.5. They're at four at 44-31. Pelicans are 43-31, so they're a half game back.
It's a good time to bring it up if you're like the Warriors or the Rockets, you have to start trying to figure out who you want to play. Not that you can do any finagling by losing games and resting players, but you have to take notice of the fact that in the first round, you could see San Antonio. You mm-hmm. could see Oklahoma City. You could see teams that you wouldn't expect to see because teams are going so far up and then plummeting so far down just in one night's play in the NBA, and there's only eight games to go on the schedule. So it's going to be crazy down the stretch. This is what the NBA wanted to do when they created the schedules. They want it to come down to the final games of the season. They want it to come down to everybody having to be deeply engaged in every game throughout the till the last game's played. They're getting that this year.
Yep. They are indeed. It's looking like everybody involved, even 9 and 10, have yep. some hope. Because you asked, is it possible the Clippers make?
Clippers
is that
won
possible?
Last night. Yeah,
sure. I guess it's possible, but I tell you what, a lot of teams have a pretty easy schedule down the stretch.
See, that's the one thing where that's where you come in looking at schedules. I hadn't looked at that. I just know that for me, it's so improbable to think that the Clippers could get in the playoffs because I just am not impressed by anything with their lineup.
Minnesota could technically run the table.
Okay.
They've got 8 games left against Memphis, Atlanta, Dallas. That's 3-0.
3 wins.
Utah. It's going to be tough, but they could beat
Utah's
Utah.
Utah's playing really well.
But they can beat Utah. It's on the road. It's in Utah. That's one of my losses for the Wolves. Then they play Denver again. Denver, Los Angeles, Memphis, Denver. So by my liking, I figure they probably split with Denver. One's at home, one's on the road. It's that the one on the road at Denver is after the Utah game, but they've got three or four games in between, so it's not a back to back. So that shapes up well. Los Angeles is a back to back. If they split with Denver and beat everybody else that they're supposed to and lose to Utah, the Wolves go 6-2 down the stretch. So that's kind of what I'm trying to look at, because I want to see who's playing the Warriors in round one.
But I also want to know from a Minnesota standpoint, with all that being said, is Jimmy Butler going to be healthy? I mean, with the Warriors waiting on Curry, I've said the one team that I thought could really disrupt things would be a healthy Minnesota team, but you have no idea if Jimmy Butler's going to be healthy. Last night, if I'd have told you before the game, Barry, the Clippers are at Toronto. Toronto,
that's an L.
Yeah, and they beat Toronto in Toronto last night.
Crazy.
So, yeah, it's anybody's ball game right now, and there are a lot of spots up for grabs, but it goes back to what you said, and if you want to check out sportsmap.com, check Barry's article out. He's absolutely spot on that it's time for the Rockets to rest, guys. You've got the one seed wrapped up. You've got the best record in the league wrapped up. Don't do anything to put yourself in the peril that some of these other teams are facing right now, with a Minnesota without Butler, with Golden State without Curry, with San Antonio wondering if Kawhi's ever going to come back. You don't want that if you're Chris Paul, James Harden, and the Rockets. You don't want those guys, and you can't afford to have those guys out. So rest them. There's no, you know what? There's no shame in that game. Like you said, the game last night in Atlanta, you can say they were trying to see who they want on their roster in the future, but let's be real. That's the most intentional, unintentional tanking for a draft pick that you can ever find. The Bulls are doing it. Like
Pretty
you
ugly.
Said, the tomorrow night you'll find out. The Bulls are doing it. The Mavs are doing it. Cuban got fined for it. She might as well keep doing it.
Yep.
But there are a lot of teams right now. This is what the NBA, like I said, was trying to avoid. They're lucky that it's so compelling to watch these playoff seedings go down to the wire, because for the teams that are out of it, they are putting teams not even worthy of a G League team out there.
How much does rest count for when they, because they're not practicing, like they announced that they're not practicing today. I mean, does that help any that they're not practicing, or they need to rest games?
The guys that need it will still be there. They'll work those guys out privately, and they'll do things to make sure their cardio gets up and they get a workout in. But the most important thing is for the guys that have been grueling. I did a story last night for Sports Map on who the key guy to step up, or that the Rockets fans need to keep an eye on stepping up, not named Chris Paul or James Harden. And when I looked at the numbers, Ariza's still averaging over 34 minutes a game. And that, for a guy that's not young in the tooth anymore, that he's getting a little long in the tooth, that's something you got to take it into consideration too. He's such a warrior, and he's always playing, if not suspended, or if when he had the one hamstring issue. you've got to sit him. You've got to get him some rest.
This is actually the time I'm actually okay with them giving more minutes to Ryan Anderson. Let him play.
Yeah. But again, he's in street clothes last night. You know, and he played the game before, the night before. Is it just that they're being super precautious and not going back-to-backs on his back?
Well, yeah.
Maybe.
Tucker, Capella, and Harden all played 30, 28, and 30.
And that's more in line with what you were looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I was wanting 20 to 25 minutes a game out of those guys. Harden didn't need to play, but he was going to get that triple-double, so he had to get in there and get some rebounds in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, that's better than 38, 39 minutes a game. So that's good to see, at least. But, and against a team like that, it should be low.
If you listen to Calvin Murphy last night, he's on page with what we've been saying all along, which is you can't – I've been telling you guys this consistently. Harden's a guy you just can't sit down. He won't do it. So fine, then put him out there, but then take him out and make him sit because, like I said, short of pulling the uniform out of his locker stall, he's going to want to suit up and go. But you just, it's not worth the risk at this point. You've got, there's nothing to decide in the regular season, but there's a whole hell of a lot to lose if he's not healthy come playoff time.
It's like I've been saying, you've got to,
yeah, I agree.
D'Antoni has to make a decision and be the coach and say, look, I'm sorry, it's what's best for the team.
Yeah, Daryl Morey was in here with John and Lance this morning, and that's where he's got to step up too and say, look, I appreciate you wanting to play, but you know, for the benefit of this franchise, you just got a new deal, you got a long-term deal, the commitment we've made to you, we can't afford to have you hurt when you are our franchise going into the playoffs.
It's so weird though, because I feel like this is the one year that you can approach Harden and say, hey, you're not going to play, and it's not really going to be so divisive in terms of his relationship with Coach D'Antoni. I mean, this should be the easiest time that you can approach James Harden and say, look, dude, we've got 8 games left. Sit down. You're pretty much the reason or one of the main reasons why we're here. Just sit down.
But you got the video Saturday night. And if he truly means what he says when he speaks to the media and everybody was saying, hey, you set the franchise record for wins in a regular season, that's not important to us. We've got bigger, more important goals. If you're focused on those bigger, more important goals, you'll realize this is the time to sit down.
Absolutely.
That simple. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. Charlie Pillow is going to join us next. He's going to join us like he does on Mondays and Fridays when we're not on a remote. So Charles will not be in charge, but he will join us from 1:30 to 2. So stay tuned for Charlie as we continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. She never knew that there was anything
more than to call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the first hour of the show. It's Charlie Pulillo joining us from our sister station, SportsMap 94.1, where you can hear the Charlie Pulillo Show 11 to 1, Monday through Friday. And Mondays and Fridays, when we're not on a remote, Charlie joins us. So, Charlie, welcome. I heard you driving in this morning. You were talking about your spectacular weekend. What makes it so spectacular? Such a great weekend?
I was faking it.
Oh, so there's no you and Stormy Daniels. There's no sincerity in what you're saying?
My own mood. Why would you question her sincerity?
Well, she said she lied a couple of times, but now you know she wants to have the truth come out. So why did you lie?
No, actually, it was a very good weekend. And then last thing you mentioned before we get here is your guys came close.
Syracuse came close. You and Jordan on our sales staff, Syracuse alum, should be very pleased with the effort. But you were looking to cover the spread when I just wanted Syracuse to pull the upset.
Well, you look to cover the spread when you don't pull the upset. And it took me out of the potential great dilemma next Monday night. What if it was a Syracuse-Loyola national championship game or Syracuse-Michigan? Do I go to that or do I go to the once-in-a-lifetime? My school has won the national championship. But only once in a lifetime can you see the World Series champions banner unfurled and all the bunting and pomp and circumstance.
Do you care about that stuff?
The banner will be there the next night. But I still think it'll be cool to be there if the weather is good and the roof is open.
I was thinking about that. Like, do I want to go to that circus? Do I want to try to sit? Because there's going to be no chairs. It's going to be
the media.
You know, I'll wait a week when the media gets tired of going, and then I'll start going.
And they've moved the media parking farther from the stadium this year.
What?
I didn't hear that.
Where is it now?
It is on the other side of 45.
I don't like it.
By Allen Center.
I don't like it.
No, I'm kidding. It's lot C as opposed to lot B. As I said on air earlier, any media that complains about that, eat less, work out more.
I don't like it.
Even in July, if it's 97 degrees for a 1 o'clock start, it's an extra few hundred feet. The Astros are planning to, I guess, sell more parking spaces with greater regularity this year. And why not? You win the World Series, your poo-poo doesn't stink the following year.
So my friends were telling me about tickets. My wife was having discussion with her friends, or actually my niece, Amanda. She collects bobbleheads. She likes to go to the Astros games. She was saying that last year, a $4 ticket, or was it? Yeah, a $4 ticket was like $24 now.
Well, they don't have $4 tickets.
Yeah, in the nosebleeds. You could get the $4 cheap seat tickets or something like that.
I think in recent years, it's about $7 has been the cheapest. Yeah. They used to have $5, and then years ago, there were a limited number, I think, day of game you could get for $1 or $2.
Well, they did the Coca-Cola thing, too.
The day of game, you could. But now it's like $25 to sit in the nosebleeds. At the very top of Minute Maid, it's $25.
Well, on weekends, $20 and $25 when the Yankees and Red Sox are here. But
this is off night. This is just...
In fairness, there are still a select number of games. There'll be fewer of them where you can get in for $7.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what it was, $7 instead of $4, but still... She said normally she would buy those, and they were $7, whatever they were, and now they're $25, $24. Pretty significant increase.
Capitalism, baby.
Pretty significant increase.
Supply and demand.
I wonder, and I've brought this up before, but I wonder how many times or how many people that sat through and were season ticket holders during the 100 loss seasons are getting some sort of, hey, thanks for sticking with us discount.
Sort of grandfathering prices.
Because, boy, I'd be pissed.
I don't think they're doing that.
I'd be pissed.
I got friends that have had tickets for quite a while, and I'm sure that they're not getting anything in the mail that goes, hey, because you've been you, as opposed to the people that are jumping on the bandwagon, we're going to get cut you a deal. I don't think they're doing that.
And the stadium opened in 2000, so it has been a while.
Yeah.
But I do remember specifically year one, they called them, I think, Dugout 1 and Dugout 2 or whatever. But except for the diamond level seats, the box seats lower level, they were $25 or $29. And they're not that anymore.
No. They're definitely not that anymore. 90, 100, something like that, right?
But still much cheaper than, say, trying to go to Fenway Park for any game.
Well, yeah.
Or Yankee Stadium for a comparable game.
Which in a lot of cases, like in Fenway, because it's still the old school stadium and the smaller seating areas, you got to almost know somebody to be able to pull tickets there.
Yeah. I think they're up to maybe 38,000, 39,000. Yankee Stadium still over 50. Here, I think 40,950, they call it standing room, but you get more than 43,000 in a play. Look, they won the World Series. I mean, if the gouging were extreme and across the board, then there should be some blowback against it. But their payroll... Jim Crane has walked the walk. You know, I mentioned this earlier. Sorry to be repeating what I did before. But more people are listening now.
So right. You got a bigger audience, so stick with us.
That I really thought it was the quote that had the most we can hang him with it potential if he didn't live up to it. That, well, when the time is right, when their payroll was $1.98. I mean, they literally got it down to about $25 million, and the Players Association was like, this is Major League Baseball is telling the Astros, come on here a little bit. And Crane's point was, where we are now, it doesn't make sense to spend. You know, we can suck and lose 95 games. Why spend $60 million to do that if you can lose 110, have the first pick in the draft, and spend $28 million? When the time is right, we're built up and our system is humming, we can be a top 5 to top 10 payroll type team, which I actually thought was ambitious. Two New Yorks, two LAs, Chicago, Boston. Mm-hmm. But that was the quote. So, okay. Well, the Astros payroll as of opening day, with them bumping up Altuve, $11 million up front as part of his signing bonus, they're a top 10 payroll team, and it's going to be nip and tuck between the Astros and the New York Yankees for who's spending more on their roster for the 2018 season. And when you're doing it coming off a World Series, you know, they took on Verlander's deal and they bumped up Altuve's deal, which doesn't indicate they're going to run scared from Correa's deal a couple, 3 years from now, whenever the time is on right. And they couldn't have delivered more in spades than they did last year. They took it to extremes, no pain, no gain, because for 5 years, I understood the plan. But living day to day and trying to talk sports and liking baseball, they killed baseball here. And this year, I guess, will be the final test because the Colorado Rockies outdrew them by 500,000 people last year. It's not as if Colorado's been knocking off World Series titles, going to the playoffs every year. It's not as if Denver's population is more than half of what Houston's is. And the Colorado Rockies, the Milwaukee Brewers outdrew the Astros last year.
It's weird, though.
I think lingering effect of 4 or 5 years, the 2 years of the TV disaster. And you know, the fan base was 7 to 11 in those years, where the ties that bind, where you get into a team, you get a favorite Astro. And then a little bit of Altuve. There was nobody.
But it's weird. We've talked about this because we've talked about the lack of the fans and attendance in the middle sections and Rockets games, and the team's won 60 games. And I know you harp on this a lot, too. The fact of the matter is it's shocking that the people – aren't like out in droves to see this team. But from a baseball perspective, you mentioned the Brewers. The crazy thing is the Bucks have Adetokunbo. 60 Minutes just did a great piece on him last night. They're an up-and-coming team. They're fourth in the market in Milwaukee for everybody that I've asked, behind the Packers, the Brewers, the Badgers, and then the
in
Bucks.
Milwaukee, really?
Yeah, and that's shocking to me because the Bucks have such an entertaining team and a young kid you can build around, but it's crazy. Carter's on hold. Maybe Carter's got an answer for us on this season ticket thing. Hopefully that they did cut a break for some of the season ticket holders. Let's find out. Carter, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. My family has had season tickets since 79.
Wow.
At the Dome, we're on the second row behind the visitors on deck circle. At Minute Maid, we are one row behind the PSLs, which is actually, I think, the row 7, which is right behind the plate. You got the diamond level, and then the first 7 or 6 rows were row 7. I know in 2011, season tickets, 4 tickets were $16,000. And this year, the same 4 seats are $32,000.
Oh, so, man. Now, Carter, yeah, do you know if they gave any deals at all to any season ticket holders that were there? I assume you guys had tickets when they were losing 100 games?
I actually took over the tickets in 07. And they don't do anything special.
I don't think so.
So that's right about $100 per game per ticket. Right? 80
yeah,
home games at $100
people would be 8,000
times 4 is 32,000.
Some like Yankees tickets are more expensive,
yeah.
But
dynamic pricing.
I'm diehard and I'm still going to go, but it's almost, you know, pricing me out of the market unless I'm a big company.
That's quite an increase. Carter, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening, too.
I'm sure we all know people who pull tickets with friends. And if you have a draft at the start of the season or you get 81 games, it's tough to commit on price or just lifetime to go that
many. Think about that increase, though, man. More than double.
Over what period of time did you say?
2011. From to 18.
From 16,000 to 30, what do you say? 32,000.
Mm-hmm. That's like college tuition rate increases.
Yeah.
If you went to Syracuse.
Wait, so, right. So really, it was the Antetokounmpo segment you watched on 60 Minutes last night?
Antetokounmpo? I watched both.
Okay.
I watched neither.
I didn't watch the weather report, but I saw Stormy, and then I saw the Greek Freak. You did too, didn't you?
I did.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It is The Usual Suspects with Charlie Polillo joining us till 2 right here on ESPN 97.5. 808 drums, you don't want none. Better run
when beef is on. I pop that trunk. Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go. More of The Big Show. Hour number one of the 3-hour extravaganza as we do Mondays and Fridays. Charlie Polillo joins us from our sister station, SportsMap 94.1 FM, where he hosts the Charlie Polillo Show 11 to 1. We were kicking around a little baseball before the break and talking about the ticket prices and such, which are getting crazy. I don't think there's any team, not that I'm going to fault them, because like you guys said, look, they won the championship, so they deserve to get some of this. But I don't think that they could have maximized it much more than they did. In terms of every possible angle.
The 37 championship nights.
The trophy tour. Yeah. the you know, and of course MLB allows you to do these special gold jerseys and the gold touch on all these different bits of merchandise, so you can pick that up as well. But they have done a ton with what they've gotten for winning the championship. There's no doubt about it.
Well, you got to come up with $163.5 million for Altuve somehow.
That's right.
Correa's probably quarter billion when his time comes.
Now, before we got into the baseball talk, we were talking a little basketball. Before you go, I'm curious, thoughts on the Final Four, how it shook out, and other than Loyola, any major surprises?
Nah, I mean, it's three big-time national brands and Loyola, which is one of the great stories in the history of the tournament.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyone sick of Sister Jean yet?
So we talked about this last week. Barry brought it
up. I'm not. I don't want to be struck dead on the spot. I fully expect a 4 or 5 minute painfully awkward Barkley Sister Jean interview.
Well, you heard her that she said she'd like to meet him, and she thinks as a person he seems like a pretty good guy, but she's not fond of him as a player.
She needs to say, will you repent for throwing that little person through the plate glass window? Especially plate glass. You can't do that.
You want to? She should just bring up his, since they're in San Antonio, his feelings for the women in San Antonio.
I'm two games away from a ring, which in my walk of life, I really can't get one. And I understand you never got a ring either.
I did.
I'm talking about Sister Jean to Charles.
Oh, got it. Oh, yeah, you can blast him.
If they're going to do it, they need to.
Yeah. Where are you guys on this school of thought?
But Loyola has history. They did win the national championship in 1963. Hadn't been in the tournament since 85.
Who was the guy with the funky name they had?
Alfredrick Hughes.
Yeah, he brought him to a little bit of promise. But I'm curious with you guys and your schools of thought in looking at this tournament. Houston should have, for all intents and purposes, beaten Michigan. Are you the guys with a school of thought that say, because of that, if they would have won that game, that they would be going to the Final Four?
No, not at all. Because look what the Aggies, how they beat Carolina and then lost to Michigan. Mm-hmm. And who's to say that the same thing wouldn't have happened with U of H?
But Michigan just found a jump shot, an outside game they did not have against U of H.
It's a natural thing to believe if it's your team. We were so close. Nick, have you had any sleep the last week and a half because of that?
Yeah, I've had plenty of sleep. I'm fine.
It's that transitive property of equality that does not work. If A beat B and B beat C, if we're A, we'd have beaten C. But that A&M so completely disintegrated that if you're U of H, you're thinking, well, geez, we could have at least beat them. Maybe we wouldn't have beat them by 100 the way Michigan did. But we live
in an era where plenty of people do have that school of thought that because U of H lost to Michigan, if they'd have beaten Michigan, they'd be going to the Final Four.
Well, yeah. Would they have shot like Michigan did against A&M?
Yeah, that was the Rob Gray show with hope for some help from other guys.
And as much as I don't like him, Mo Wagner can hold his own against some of those A&M bigs, as you saw. And I don't know if U of H had anybody could match up with A&M down low.
No, he's not an imposing dominate the paint and the glass, which is why I think Loyola has a chance to get to Monday night.
Yeah.
I mean, Michigan's as big a favorite over Loyola as Villanova is over Kansas.
That's crazy.
Here's the thing, too.
That's giving Loyola a pretty decent shot. I think the line's like 5 in both games.
Where are you on the fact that a lot of people, and this is it seemingly is the case, but they don't reshuffle the deck so that the two best teams in the Final Four end up playing on championship night, kind of like we're talking about if the NBA would go to a different format so that the 1 versus the 2 would end up playing that way. But it's almost like you'd want to see Villanova play one of the two and Kansas play the other two so that the 2 1-seeds could possibly meet in the championship.
Well, that's why you have 4 1-seeds, though.
I know. I get that, but I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of in a lot of ways because everybody loves the Cinderella story. It's like the two closest things to the Cinderella, and one obvious choice is Loyola, but Michigan still had to get through quite a hellstorm to get there. But the fact that they have to play each other, a lot of people are disappointed.
It's not going to feel like a warm-up game. It is the Final Four, but Villanova, Kansas, especially if it's Michigan. Clearly, Michigan can beat the winner in the championship game, but it's going to have a little feel like, whoa, is this the real title game? I'm not for reseeding once you get into the tournament, but it took them forever to wake up, to your point. Was it 96 when everyone knew the two best teams in the country were Kentucky, Patino, with 8 NBA guys, and UMass with Marcus Camby, Calipari coaching them before that never happened, I guess, historically now. And they played in the semifinals when everyone knew, geez, these are the two best teams.
Yep.
So at least now they do seed the whole tournament that one's on one side and two is on the other side. But when two gets chased and now you have two number ones on one and it's a 3 against an 11 on the other. But that's just the way it works out.
We got a text. Somebody said, is the NCAA tournament showing us that people love a Cinderella story and a team making a good run? When and should NCAA football take notice and open up to more playoff teams?
I'd be no more than 8. Basketball, it's 3-4 guys who get on a hot run together. There's no way that the North Dakota States or the Sun Belt Conference champions, I don't know how wide you're looking to open it up, that they can hang with the Alabama and Ohio States of the world. Certainly not over multiple games where physical violence and destruction is part of it.
But I think if you took the winner of each Power Five and an at-large, you know, that come say a Boise State or whatever, I think that type of team would have a realistic shot of making a run in a tournament of six teams.
Because we've talked about this past. You are an opponent. I mean, a proponent of 8.
Yeah,
because I am. I believe in that too. I think eight is a good number.
The format that you're talking about, the 5 power conference champions. Then you take the best of, like now they get thrown the big bowl game that U of H beat Florida State.
You have an at-large.
And then you have 2 at-larges.
Yes. Yeah, because a lot of times when you look at the SEC, just because you won the SEC doesn't mean that's the only good team that can represent the SEC. That could happen in the Pac-12. I mean, it could happen in the Big Ten. So you can have more than one representative from the conference, but if you win a Power 5 conference, you should definitely be in the playoffs. You give another seed or two here, and then you have an at-large or two.
If we did that this past season, it would have been the 5 conference champions, Central Florida, which went undefeated, so that's 6, the best of the B-level conferences. Uh-huh. And then the 2 at-larges would have been Alabama and whoever would have been chosen as the other one. I'd be all right with that as an 8 team.
Yeah,
I'm fine with
but
that.
But I want to play the quarterfinals if we go to that on campus. So if
I do like
year,
that.
Penn State's the first round. Penn State's the 2 seed and Southern Cal's the 7. All right, USC, go play in State College in December.
Yeah. You could also go to Florida.
You're playing at Wisconsin.
And it also doesn't look like the NCAA is prostituting another sport to get as many dollars as they can.
And even if you did go 6, the 1 and 2 get a bye. That first week, they don't play.
I'm
they get off
that.
A week.
I thought in the past two
years, there's ways to do this.
To 6.
But there's ways to do it. I like 8 because I think it gives you a little more flexibility. But I like 6, too. To me, 6 seems like a good solution because you got the Power 5 plus 1.
With the 6, you would have 2 with buys? Is that?
Yeah. I mean, you could give 1 because people say, oh, well, 6 doesn't work. Well, yeah, you give 1 and 2 a week off because they earned it.
And 3 plays 6.
Yeah,
3
plays
5.
And those would be, but if you want to make the NCAA happy, then you can make those bowl games if you wanted to. But at least you're opening it up to a Cinderella team.
I like the fact that Loyola's got a shot.
I do too.
It's not like you're an underdog and then you're going to get blasted in the Final Four against a powerhouse. They got a shot. They got some D1 kids that transferred from other programs. They play a style of basketball that's fun to watch. It's not like watching paint dry. And they got some bigs that where they need them. They got a shot, and I like it.
That pasty, lefty freshman big kid they have, don't you think you could run him in the gym?
Yeah, I was telling Lisa when I was watching, for a 7-footer, he's running on his tiptoes and looks like he's the most unorthodox and uncoordinated kid in the world, but he gets it done.
He's going to play the exact same way he does now when he's 55.
But he'll have a headband on and goggles and be making...
And braces on every joint.
And be banking shots and calling it. But he looks like he's running on sand. You ever worked out like at the beach or ran on sand before? It's an awkward kind of
really
struggling
is.
Run.
Tiptoes. And,
watching
yeah.
him do that. I'm like, how is he even? And he's a freshman. I'm like, man, that kid, he's hanging in there for that team.
It's 3-4 smaller guys who can all shoot the 3 and drive the ball. And God is on their side.
Now, do you believe for 1 second, because I was watching the pregame and how they were talking about, oh, yeah, we felt like we were a team of destiny.
No.
Did you?
No way.
Did you,
though? You could be a team of destiny because you've won a game in the tournament. I don't think you anticipated going to the Final Four.
Stormy's on stage 1, Destiny's on stage 2.
Yeah, exactly.
If
you won, it's because you won. Why would you undervalue we're a team of destiny? Our skill our practice.
We never doubted.
I thought the greatest
thing was we were destined.
The post game interview with the two kids that played high school ball together from Kansas, and the one's recognizable. And so the girl walks up at the hotel and says, "Can I get a picture with him? Hey, can you take it?"
Are you on the team too? She asked him, "Are you on the team too?"
And then after he took it, she's like, "Are you on the team too?" It's like, yeah, that kind of gives you an idea of how well known they are.
So. My last words, then you can run me out of here. Loyola's uniform color is a little bit hickory high.
I thought the same thing. I was waiting for Ollie to come off the bench. Absolutely right. And Jimmy Chitwood. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I'll make it.
Yeah, there you go. Give me the ball and I'll make it. All right, Charlie, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again on Friday. That's the first hour of the show in the books. 2 hours still to go of The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.